Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercies, Lord, that are new every day, Lord. Lord, we ask for your gifts of teaching to be poured out tonight, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, would be our teacher, that you would soften our hearts to receive your word, that it would go forth in power, Lord, by your spirit. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that your word is powerful, Lord, that you are our word, Lord, that you are our light, Lord, and may that light shine in the darkness, Lord. And we just praise you. May you be glorified tonight, Lord. May you be exalted and lifted high. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'll turn, we're going to start in 2 Samuel chapter 7. I know that wasn't on the website, so 2 Samuel 7. So as I was praying about what to bring tonight, and I was like, you know, seeking the Lord, and this is where he brought me, and it wasn't what I expected, but it started coming together, so praise the Lord for that, and just asking his spirit to teach tonight. He reminded me that his covenants are eternal, you know, that they're forever, and, you know, I received the Lord when I was in my 20s, and then lived for several years not walking with the Lord like I should, but he never forgets covenants. When my wife and I got married, we knew we were going to serve the Lord. We were in covenant. I mean, we prayed, Lord, let us serve you. And most of the beginning of our marriage didn't look like that. But it was just a few years ago that the Lord came and found me in a dark place. And he shined his light, had an encounter with Christ, and he led me back to him, and I'm here by his grace, and that's all he's told me this week is grace, grace, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you, so praise him for that, and praise him that he is a God of covenants, that he doesn't forget those. So I'm going to start with that. His covenants are eternal, and the definition for covenant is a mutual consent or agreement. This is Webster's 1828, of two or more persons to do or to forbear some act or thing, a contract, a stipulation. And it says, in theology, the covenant of works is that implied in the commands, prohibitions, and promises of God. The promise of God to man, that man's perfect obedience should entitle him to happiness, this do and live, that do and die. The covenant of redemption is a mutual agreement between the Father and Son respecting the redemption of sinners by Christ. The covenant of grace is that by which God engages to bestow salvation on man upon the condition that man shall believe in Christ and yield obedience to the terms of the gospel. So I praise him for that grace, that covenant of grace. Proverbs 1:33 says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And hearkeneth in the Strong's Greek word, I'll mess it up, shama, means to hear, to listen, to obey, to hear, perceive by ear, to hear of or concerning, to have power to hear, with attention or interest, to listen to understand, to listen or give heed, to listen to, yield to obey or be obedient. So the Lord taught me to hearken and hear his voice, and that's what led me back to him, and it was by his grace. So we'll start here in 2 Samuel 7, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. So we're talking about King David here. That the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. So it's interesting, Nathan, it's most likely that he thought, well, that's a great idea, David, do all that's in your heart. Sometimes, you know, we give advice before we seek the Holy Spirit or we go into prayer. And we have to remember that even if we're in counsel, we should be asking the Lord and seeking that so that we're hearing his voice and clear in that counsel. So that word came later after that, and Nathan realized, okay. Also interesting here, it says that the Lord walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. So to think that the Lord walks here. He's right here with us. In all places, at verse 7, in all the places where I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now, therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. So there he was, the shepherd. He was like the youngest child, and off over tending the sheep. And then the Lord, he knew his heart. So God knows our hearts. We don't know our own hearts. He knows our hearts better than we do. And praise the Lord for that. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And then went King David in and sat before the Lord. So he hears the word of the Lord, and where does he go? He goes in immediately and sits before the Lord. So you know he has that relationship. And he goes right into prayer. Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? This was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the manner of man, O Lord God. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible. For thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people, Israel, to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. So hear that word of the Lord, and then to be able to pray that word. So if you have that relationship with the Lord, and your prayers are in alignment with him, then there's power in that prayer. You know those prayers are going to be answered because you know his will. And now, O Lord God, the word that has spoken concerning thy servant, concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art the God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. O Lord God, hast thou spoken it, and why thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. So, as you look through here in this prayer, David heard the word of the Lord. He went right into prayer, and he hearkened unto the Lord's words, and he immediately went before him. He went to him in prayer. If you want to be used of God, you must be a man or woman of prayer. Pastor Chuck has five parts of prayer that's important. And the first one, he says, is that relationship. He sat before the Lord in verse 18. Most important aspect of prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. So when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, that was the first thing, our Father who art in heaven. That's a relationship. We're children of God. When we accept the Lord as our Savior, and we accept Jesus, the blood that he shed for us covers us, and we become sons and daughters. So we can go to him as our own Father. You know, it's not that God's so far away, he's right there. So being able to realize that relationship that he longs for you to have with him, to seek him, just as you would go and sit in your Father's lap for that time and fellowship, that communion, for that love. It's a privilege that he gives to his children. And the second part of that is the worship. So Jesus taught us to begin our prayers with worship. Hallowed be thy name. David worshiped the Lord in adoration. Just look at the Psalms. He was a man of worship. To be used of God, we must worship in spirit and truth. In John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. When we worship, things come into true perspective. Pastor Chuck said, worship is the beginning of effective communication with God. So if we don't have worship, then we're not going to be in that fellowship. When we have communion and fellowship and we worship into the presence of the Lord, then all of the flesh, everything of the world pales in comparison to the Lord's will. So Jesus always went off. He always set that example. He went off into prayer and to fellowship, communion with the Lord. And we can do that with worship. And then in verse 18, that confession kind of goes along with that. But in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Confession of our sin can open our understanding of that damage that the sin brings into our life. So that night that I had that encounter with Christ, that was where he was with me. He's like, how's this going for you? You've tried to do this yourself. Are you willing to do it my way? And I just, Lord, where else can I go? And he said, okay, now. And then he started giving me, I just heard his voice in my spirit. He started just giving me sins one by one. Now confess this. Now forsake this. Now do this. And just being obedient. And he will cleanse us. When we go to him in repentance, he cleanses us. His blood was shed for us. That's the perfect covenant, the better covenant. The covenant of Yeshua, our Savior. The blood that he shed for every one of us. So confession of our sin opens that understanding of the damage it brings. So verse 18 kind of alluded to this in verse 20. David said in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." So we know from Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, our Lord in heaven, the one who created us. He knows our heart better than we do. So the only way that we can know what our heart is going to him in worship, in prayer, having relationship with him, and seeking him. Lord, search my heart and show me. Sin can hinder our prayer life. Confession restores that relationship with him, with the Father, and opens that communication that we have with him. And then the fourth part, petition. Give us this day our daily bread. And then that leads into the intercession. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Prayer should always extend beyond ourselves. A life of worship in spirit and truth will lead to a life of intercession to accomplish the will of the Father in heaven. So David heard the words the prophet Nathan brought, and then he went into prayer. He believed those words that he heard from the prophet, that that was the word of the Lord. And then the Lord desires us to go into that fellowship and communion with him to pray that his will would be done on the earth and heaven. And that's how we can be one, just as Christ and the Father are one. We seek him, we worship into his presence, and we do that, then we can go into communion with him to accomplish his will on earth. Why does he do it that way? I don't know. It's God. He desires to do it that way. He desires, even though that we're in this earth, these fleshly human beings, he made that way for us to be in communion with him. He created us to be in fellowship with him. We lost that when we broke that in the garden, when the first man sinned. But God already had that planned out. He already had a better covenant planned. He knew that he was going to provide the perfect sacrifice of his son, Jesus, that the blood would be shed for all. As David's praying, he's bringing about all this intercession. You know, for thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done these things. Wherefore thou art great, and he's worshiping him. O Lord God, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. In verse 22, it says, and what one nation in earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, to make him a name, to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods, for thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And he says, and let thy name be magnified forever. The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let thy house of David be established before thee. So praying that, hearing the word, praying that word, let it be done, Lord. Let thy will be done. Seeking the Lord's will in our prayers, not our own will. So one way we can serve God is through that prayer, by worshiping into his presence, hearkening to his words, accomplishing his purpose by hearing his words and praying those things, interceding as the saints. We must be those yielded vessels willing to be used of him. And in order to do that, we must have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So when you receive the Lord as your Lord and Savior, and that infilling of the Holy Spirit, then that gives you that dunamis power to be that vessel that's full, and you pour out, and you come back to the Lord, and he refills you, and you pour out, and you come back, and he refills you. I'm sitting here by his grace today. He uses the most unlikely of candidates. David the shepherd, who became a king. He was the most unlikely of candidates. He was out as a shepherd, was brought to be in to be anointed by God's servant. And that's in 1 Samuel 16. In Psalm 40, David says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. So David's strength was his dependence on God. God kept his covenants with David. And it's his word, you know, if it's said, it's going to be done. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." So this is known as the Davidic covenant. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 34, "And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David." Why? Because God desired to give those mercies just as he gave to David. Was David a perfect man? You can read throughout the scriptures. You know he wasn't the perfect man. But the Lord knows the hearts. So what is your heart? What's the desire of your heart? If you know your heart's not right, ask the Lord for a new one. He'll do it. You know, when he brought me back to him and he said, "Now forsake all that you know and learn of me." And the Lord started discipling me. And he told me, you have a bad heart. And it hurt, but the Lord corrects those whom he loves. And I said, "Well, Lord, I don't know how to change it. I need you to change it for me." He changed my heart. There's no explanation for it. You can ask my wife. He changed my heart. And it's because of his grace, his mercies. He desires to give that to all children. We just have to come to him. So there were seven main blessings of this covenant, the Davidic covenant. The first one, you can look, is the house said would last forever. So imagine, this is David. He doesn't know the fulfillment of this. He's hearing all these things. I couldn't imagine. His house is going to last forever, saying that throne of David would last forever. How could you wrap your head around this? His kingdom would last forever. Israel was promised a land forever. Israel would no longer be afflicted by the nations forever. Israel would receive fatherly care of God forever. And the covenant is forever eternal. Jesus was the last king crowned in Jerusalem. He was crowned with thorns. But he's going to return, and he's going to be crowned with many crowns. And he will rule for 1,000 years in the millennial reign, as prophesied in Revelation 20. So turn in your scriptures. Let's turn to Revelation 20. Starting in verse 1. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." The bottomless pit is the abuso, it's the shaft. "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, the martyrs, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the fulfillment here, guys. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. So imagine you have 1,000 years. Satan is bound. We have the millennial reign. So there's no sickness. There's no, you know, it's like no pain, no sorrow. Yet it says Satan's going to be loosed, and then it says he's going to deceive the nations. So imagine that after all those years, and you have Christ's reign, all the priests, and then still there's going to be those that are deceived, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Are you in covenant with Christ? I sure hope every one of us is, because even these after that millennial reign are deceived. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, says, Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So essentially, you have that choice, eternal torment, or eternally being in the presence of our Lord. So believing is a choice. It's not an understanding. It's that choice that you must choose to believe to receive that free gift. Once you believe, then comes the understanding. So the only unpardonable sin is that rejecting that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that he's the one who made the way. And once you've received that covenant, that perfect blood, that lamb, the spotless lamb that was shed for all mankind, covers you. So you become a son or a daughter of our Father in heaven. So I couldn't imagine why anybody would want to go into that eternal lake of fire, eternal torment. God made the way. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him shall have that eternal life. They shall not perish, shall have eternal life. That's forever life. And he made it simple. It's simple. It's just believing. And one simple prayer is all it takes, and choosing to serve him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, you can turn there. We're doing a Bible study today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Start right at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. So do we have scoffers walking after their own lusts? Oh, most certainly. And saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. So it says they're willingly ignorant. They choose to be ignorant of this, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So if you remember in this story of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, there were no good men, but there was faithful Noah. I want to be that faithful Noah. How can I do that? By the power of the Spirit of the Lord. That's the only way. To choose to submit myself and yield myself to his Spirit, to listen to his voice, to be obedient to him. If you don't know the voice of the Lord, you just start praying and asking, Lord, help me to hear your voice. I want to know your voice. I want to be obedient to you. I want to do your will. Be those few faithful ones. So God created that ark, and he not only saved Noah, but his whole family. Essentially, that's what the Lord did. I had a whole family. We were all bound for hell. And when the Lord found me that night, I say found me, I finally just yielded to him. He told me, he said, your wife's going to hate you for a while. But he said, for a while. I said, okay, Lord. It's like, I didn't understand it. And he's like, are you willing to do that? And I was like, where else can I go, Lord? My wife's going to hate me for a while, or I'm going to hell. You know, like, so the things that, you know, why would we hold back? He knows what's best for us. He's our loving Father. He made that ark. He's the one who sealed the door. He's the one who did it. So the Lord closed that door. Are you on the ark? All right. We're at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Thank you, Lord. Not willing that any should perish. The scoffers would lie, and they say things, oh, you know, why would God allow this to happen? Well, just read his word. What does it say? He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that person that you stopped praying for because they're just never going to repent, I encourage you, pick that prayer list back up. Don't stop. Be long-suffering. Your Lord is long-suffering. I can't imagine the prayers that were lifted up for me and my family. And I'm so grateful because now, just like the Lord said, now my wife's turn. She's given her life to him. Both my children have given their lives to him. Spirit-filled, serving the Lord by his grace. Nothing I did, all because of Christ. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Are you prepared for a thief in the night? oh, there's going to be a thief tonight. I'm going to sit up. I'm going to have my shotgun. No. It's not how it works. It's the least time you expect it. The least time you expect it is when the thief shows up. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Saints, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And with the Lord, all means all. So the market, the workplace, the home, wherever we are, we're always on display. People know who the saints are. Looking for the hasting into the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Can you imagine a new heaven, a new earth, in that righteousness? So this is just but a blip on the radar, guys. When you're thinking, how long must I tarry with these people? How long must I deal with these folks? It's just that, it's such a short time. It's just a blip in eternity. What a glorious day. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Every one of you can be found without spot and blameless because of the blood that was shed for each one of us. Every one of us. Thank you, Jesus. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. The long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So we must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How can we do that? Do that relationship. And while we're here, isn't it great to just serve the Lord? What better thing is there to do than to serve the Lord? To die to ourselves, to take up that cross, to live for him, to do his will. He gives us every single thing that we could possibly need to serve him. So every excuse is futile. Just don't even, there's no point in even thinking of the excuses. He tests me, he tries me, you know, oh Lord, is this really what you want me to do? And he'll show me, you know, he has fun with me. Sometimes I get several swats here and there, but what I think him because, you know, he corrects those whom he loves. I just picture that, you know, that shepherd. Of course he's going to use the shepherd, you know. They have that, and they're just guiding the sheep and guiding them, and then sometimes it might take a whop here or there, and they fight off the wolves and all the things to protect the sheep. And guys, we have a true shepherd here. Praise God. So when the Lord brought me here, I had no idea. He woke me up, shook me out of my sleep. I'm sleeping, I'm driving truck, working 60, 70 hours a week. Some of you have heard my testimony, but and he shook me and said, get up, get out of bed, and go to Calvary Chapel, Fargo. And I almost didn't come. Praise God for his long suffering. Because he woke me up again. He said, get up, get out of bed, and go to Calvary. And it's like, Lord, I don't know where that is. And he's like, you can figure it out. He's such a good father. You know, he knows every one of his kids. He knows all of us. I was like, well, if my wife says, you know, of course that's what I do. My little Southern Baptist belle, you know. So she looks at me and, you know, you probably know about Calvinism, but, you know, she says, well, if the Holy Spirit told you, don't you think we should go? And she goes, give me more than 30 minutes to get the girls ready next time. So I was like, that was my fault. I was arguing with the Lord, and boy, by his grace, why would we call someone Lord and then argue with him, you know? Praise the Lord, he knows his kid. He knows us. He knows his kids. He loves us. He knows what's best for us. I'm so grateful that he brought us here and just transformed lives. You know, a few weeks after we started coming back, we kind of went left for a while, and then by God's grace came back, and then my wife was still not with the Lord, and I was praying for her 1 week while I was driving, and the Lord was like, he said, all right, I was like, Lord, you know, I'm praying for her, and he's like, are you willing to go through what it's going to take? It's like, well, I don't know, you know. And then again, Lord, do you know what's best? And then that next week, our building, the fire. So one night, everything was, all the stability, gone. But he protected every single one of us. Protected all the life in that building. So many pets and animals. Kitty was stuck in there. He even protected her by his grace. And then the only thing that didn't make it was somebody's fish. So, but that's, you know, the Lord's so good. He's a good father. And his grace is just more than enough for every one of us. So as you're thinking of those loved ones that are lost, and continue to lift them up in prayer, know he's long-suffering. Just ask him to just put that burden in your heart, and keep interceding, keep praying, keep on, because he is a God of covenants. He never forgets those things. Every single prayer you've prayed, no matter how many years you've been praying, guys, I prayed for years and years and years to get out of horrible sin. I thought there was no hope for me, and in one night, I'm not kidding you, in one night, the power of the Lord, he redeemed me, and in one night he broke off all that from my life supernaturally. It's on 3 medications, and in one night, zero. Haven't been on any since. It's all lies. The world will lie and tell you, this is what you need. You need this pill. They'll fill out a piece of paper and hand you that. It's all lies. It's all control. It's all the enemy. Reprove that darkness, guys. Shine your light. Shine your light. Shine your light. What's the light? It's Jesus in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in every one of us. We just must yield to him to shine our light every day, wherever we are, to continue to shine his light. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for covenant. Thank you that you know your children better than we know ourselves, Lord. Lord, thank you for your abundant blessings, Lord, your overflow, Lord. We pray, Lord, for more of your spirit, Lord, that you would fill every single one of us up to overflow, Lord, that we would be able to go out, Lord, to serve you, to all the days of our life, just that your praise would be on our lips, Lord, that you'd be exalted, you'd be glorified, Lord, you'd be lifted high, Lord. Lord, that we would completely be dead to self, Lord, that we'd take up our crosses to serve you, Lord. Lord, bring us all completely in line with you, Lord. That straight and narrow path, Lord, that our eyes would be fixed on you, Jesus, that you are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. And may your will be done in each one of us, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We praise you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.